Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. And now we have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank you so much, everyone, for your wonderful, wonderful support. During the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be talking about the ascension of the Earth and how we can prepare for this new beautiful golden age. The vibrations of planet Earth have been rising rapidly since 2016. Called the Schumann resonance, for thousands of years, the vibration of the Earth has been at 7.8 hertz. In September 2016, the Schumann resonance almost doubled to 13.8 hertz. And as recently as October of last year, this frequency was at 422 hertz. Soon we will be entering the fourth and fifth dimensions. Usually, this is the first Friday of the month. Usually I have my good friend Simon Parks coming from England on the show. But I apologize, he's traveling today on holiday, but he'll be coming back again on my show on the third Friday of this month on January 18th. During the second hour from 3 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., I'll be interviewing Carolyn White, who is a wonderful psychic and aura reader. She and her husband are sponsoring a wonderful free spiritual and healing fair called the Cosmic Awareness Fair in Olympia, Washington, on Saturday, January 19th. The address will be at 9101 Silicon Road in Olympia, and I'll be there giving a presentation. This will be followed by another conference, the Wonderful Galactic Wisdom Conference from April 12th to the 16th, 2019, at the same location just out south of Olympia. If you register before January 20th, the cost of the conference will be only $77. Then from 3:30 to 4, I'll be interviewing Mary Beckman, who's a wonderful psychic and aura reader. Mary is a wonderful lady. She regularly talks to the other side and has been in contact with Martin Luther King. She uses a variety of techniques to help people with all kinds of things. And I hope you'll find, and I hope you can listen to her fascinating interview. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support so much for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Just click on it. I really appreciate all your beautiful help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I also like to thank Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their generous support, as well as my wonderful friends Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries with over 250,000 listeners. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support. My friends in the Galactic Alliance, who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, of course, Eric and all the wonderful people here at KKNW for their wonderful help. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who have passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. I wanted to give everyone a big apology if you've written an email to me recently during the Christmas and holidays and New Year's. I took some time off, but I will be getting to everyone's emails this weekend, I promise. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held in Olympia, Washington at 9101 Stillicum Road from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. You can see our guest list at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And we'll have some amazing people, including Simon Parks, who will be giving presentations. If you register before January 20th, the cost for the three-day conference will be only $77. After January 20th, the cost will be $125. And if you'd like to register, please go to the website or send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. After the conference, I'll be taking a small group of people to visit sacred sites and meet with Hopi elders in Arizona from April 20th to April 28th, 2019. We'll meet in Sedona and then travel north to the Hopi. And the cost is $400 per person, with half the proceeds going to the Hopi, and the other half of the proceeds going to the nonprofit children's charity, the Emoto Peace Project. If you'd like to find out more about the Emoto Peace Project, please go to www.emotopeaceproject.net. Also, I'll be returning to Mount Shasta next year from July 2nd to July 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th, 2019. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur from the Telosians and the beautiful people of Telos and the Hollow Earth. There's a spring in the city of Mount Shasta where the water that comes up, I'm told by my friends in the Hollow Earth, that the Telosians have actually put in anti-carcinogenic elements into the water. So when you drink it, it does help you if you do have cancer, they say. It also really raises your vibrations. The water itself tastes very sweet and has a very, very high vibration. We will be visiting that spring, as also we'll be seeing, we always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying in and around Mount Shasta. The last time we were there, we were able to telepathically contact a UFO. And Adama, the high priest of Telos, gave me a miracle. He healed the vision in both of my eyes. For the past 40-odd years since college, I'd had farsighted blurry vision, about 20/50 vision in my right eye. He asked me one night if I wanted to see clearer now, and I said, sure, I'd love to see clearer. So he restored the eyesight in both eyes to crystal clear 20/10 vision. There were also other miracles which occurred on that trip, including my good friend Jason from Vancouver, who also restored his eyesight. Other people were healed of fibromyalgia and other ailments. It's an amazing place, and I hope you can come. The cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. But I wouldn't wait. I'm already getting a lot of people registering, and I plan just to take a small group on both trips in July and in September. Finally, I have some good friends in Germany. Saskia's husband is not feeling well. I'd like to ask everyone today to please send lots of love and light to Saskia and her family in Dresden, Germany, so that her husband will feel better. He's out of the hospital now, but good thoughts and prayers are always appreciated. Eric, if we could, play Aquarius to start off this segment of the program by the fifth dimension. Thank you so much, Eric. My friends, today's segment during the first hour will be on the ascension of planet Earth and the new golden age, and it's finally coming. I've waited. Many of us have been here tens of thousands of years for this moment in history, human history. I myself came here 52,000 years ago, or approximately 720 lifetimes ago, from the Pleiades, and I came down here with the intent of raising consciousness. Myself and other light workers tried to raise consciousness and fight back a negative cabal of military and political leaders at the time of Atlantis 12,500 years ago. And for those who know Atlantean history, this cabal ended up blowing up much of the planet with nuclear and crystalline technology. One of the interesting things is that when they did that, there was a huge section of Lemuria, which was based out in the Pacific Ocean with Maui, the present-day Maui as the center of it, that a big part of Lemuria drifted off to the west coast of North America and ended up from Mount Shasta north in California to the Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia. This area from Vancouver Island in British Columbia south to Mount Shasta has a very high vibration. And for many years, I often wondered why so many psychics and spiritual people and healers and light workers ended up out here. That's the reason. My friends tell me from the Hollow Earth is that this part of North America has a very high vibration dating from Lemuria. And there are places out here, I know places in Washington, where you just drive to a certain spot and you can feel the vibrations go way up. There's actually a spot in Olympia where the local Indians use the this vibrational vortex to actually travel in the fourth and fifth dimension from a spot in Olympia to see their family and relatives and friends on Vancouver Island with on a regular basis. That, of course, was stopped in the mid-19th century when settlers came in, and unfortunately, they massacred many of the Indians and took their land. But this information I've gotten both from the people of the Hollow Earth and from elders of local Indian tribes here. So there's a lot of really special energy around here. And one of the things I wanted to tell you about is called the Schumann Residence. I mentioned this earlier on the broadcast, but for tens of thousands of years, what's called the vibration of planet Earth was at 7.8 hertz. It's called the Schumann Residence, probably named after some, I think it was a German scientist named Schumann who discovered it for planet Earth. But in this remained constant for thousands of years for the Earth until September of 2016. And in September 2016, the vibrations of planet Earth almost doubled from 7.8 hertz to 13.8 hertz. It went up in 2018. 2017, 2018 to well over 200 hertz, and as recently as October 27th, 2018, the frequency was at 422 hertz. There's a lot of things happening as a result of this frequency shift, and from what I've been told by my spirit friends on the other side, soon we'll be entering into the fourth, and then very quickly into the fifth dimension. Now, for people who people may ask, well, what are these dimensions? Well, we exist here in the third dimension. This pen, if you're watching on YouTube, if you'd like to see me on YouTube, please go to the KKNW website at www.1150kknw.com and just click on either Listen Live or you can watch me now on YouTube. At any rate, this pen, for example, is in the third dimension. But then there's the fourth dimension of time, and then there's the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension is a dimension that doesn't have any time, and a good psychic can go into the fifth dimension and look into the past, present, or future and see things happening, and it's all happening all at once. I know that's hard for perhaps to think about, but there are these different dimensions. The highest dimension, I'm told, is the 12th dimension, where the supreme being or the entity who created all this, the creator, resides or exists. And the Earth itself is like a huge school where all of us are in different classes learning different things, and we are all accelerating at different rates, but we all chose to come here at this time to learn these lessons. And so sometimes if you feel, you know, I don't feel at home on planet Earth, and I don't know why I'm here, and I'm not that happy, please know that we've all chosen to be here at this time. And one of the things I'm noticing now as I'm speaking that I've got a whole bunch of angels here in the studio, and I always know that because this beautiful light that comes up, and I can feel this light and their presence right now. What I'm holding in my hand, for those looking to me on YouTube live or later, is a 528 hertz tuning fork. And now if some may ask, well, what does 528 hertz mean? Well, scientists, I don't know how they did this, but scientists years ago found that the frequency of love is 528 hertz. And so when you play a 528 hertz tuning fork, like I will do in a few minutes, that sends love out everywhere. In my hand is a crystal. It's not just any crystal. It's a crystal I got at Mount Shasta. And I brought it to the entrance of Telos and the Hollow Earth last September, where the people of Telos and their high priest and Adama blessed it and infused it with their lovely, beautiful energy and light. And so when I hit this tuning fork now with this crystal, I'll be sending out all love and light all over the world in more than 90 countries. So just listen, please. I'm going to do this three times. Isn't that nice? It raises everyone's frequency. One of the most important people I've ever interviewed on my program was Dr. Masaru Emoto. That was back on July 25th, 2014. And during that interview, of course, Dr. Emoto discovered that if you send positive thoughts to a glass of water, these beautiful water crystals will form. And on the other hand, if you send negative thoughts to a glass of water, all these ugly forms will follow. He also found that everything is hado or vibration, and that includes all kinds of different diseases, spiritual problems like, or even problems like depression, and mental issues. But if you correct those vibrational frequencies, you can really help people. And so what he did is that he I think it was probably 20 or 30 years, he used what's called hado machines to correct the vibrational frequency of his people he worked with, and he was very successful in helping many people. And I often think about him because the planet now is literally going into a much, much, much higher vibration. And with that, I'd like to play this beautiful song. It's a water song, the Japanese version, just for a couple of minutes. Eric, if you could please play that as a prelude to our next segment here. Thank you so much, Eric, for playing that. Now, for those of you, I've gotten a lot of inquiries in the past about getting a copy of that song. Please send me an email, and I'll put you in touch with the artist or where you can buy it. My email address, again, is outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com. Now, one thing I want to tell you, this process is not going to be easy. And for all of you listening today, if you felt that your bodies are very tired, like I have, that it just means that your bodies are adjusting to this new frequency. And the message that I get over and over again from Adama, from the Pleiadians, from my friends in the Galactic Alliance, is to if you're tired, please take the extra rest. Don't push yourself. They all say something very interesting too. Being busy with lots of material things to do ties you to the third dimension. And what you need to do, I know it's hard sometimes because many people have very, very busy lives, but it's best if you can to try to spend as much meditation time as you possibly can and think with your heart mind. Your heart mind always gives you the best and truest answer. Don't think, if you can, so much with your logical mind. Your logical mind is tied to the third dimension, and that third dimension will be gone in the next couple of years. So the only thing you'll have to think is really your heart mind. So it takes time, of course, to develop your intuitive powers. Both men and women have it. And the other thing, too, is that we're all here for a purpose, and we all ask to be here. This planet is like a school where all of us are learning different things in different levels. And one of the things you have to remember is be careful what you wish for. You might get it. In other words, all of you, from what my spirit, great spirit friends tell me, asked to be here at this time. And the thing is, too, is when I started writing my book a couple of years ago on called Messages from the Masters, all my spirit friends told me they were sick and tired of all the doom and gloom being perpetuated by the major media here, especially in the United States, about a new third world war with North Korea, or about maybe the economy collapsing. We are virtually on the verge of a beautiful new golden age for everyone here in humanity, and they want me to tell you all that just be prepared for it. And you know, we are powerful spiritual beings. One of the things that Dr. Emoto certainly showed us is that we can create our reality just with our thoughts. If you think positive things about our future, you can create a very positive future. That's why if I hear negativity on other radio shows or television shows, I tend to turn them off because I don't have time to think negatively, because I know we have a very, very beautiful and bright future. One of the things that my great spirit friends told me 2 or 3 years ago, they said that there would be no World War III and no Armageddon. And they particularly said, Jack Kennedy said he was working on a peace initiative. He didn't say where at the time, but he told me to keep it quiet, and he would let me know later when I could talk about it. That peace initiative, of course, was with North Korean President Trump. And he said he contacted the subconscious of both President Trump and Kim Jong-un of North Korea and got them together to sign a peace agreement. And so there's not going to be any World War III with North Korea. And instead, there's going to be peace, because one of the important things that the great spirits tell me is that we are all one. We all have the spark of the Creator within us. And as you go higher in the vibrational frequencies from third dimension all the way up to the 11th and even to the 12th dimension, where the Supreme Being, the Creator, is, you realize that we are, in fact, all one. So that if there's a war, for example, by attacking other people, when we harm other people, we're simply harming ourselves. And that's not really very, very productive, is it? We're far more powerful together than we are singly and fighting each other. One of the things I've been receiving messages from the Pleiadians from at least 1975, 1977. And one of the things the Pleiadians told me back in 1977 is that they said that once you realize that we are all one, that we all have the spark of the Creator within us, our differences in language, culture, race, all disappear. Because if we are all one, then we can create a beautiful and happy planet if we realize that. One of the other things, too, that the great spirits tell me is that of all the planets in the universe, the Earth has been the hardest to affect any positive change. And I'll give you an example of that. The vibrational levels of Earth are rising, but they're also rising out in Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, Mercury, Mars, Venus. All the other planets in this solar system are rising. And the other thing, too, is that our solar system consists of more than just 8 or 9 planets, depending upon whether you include Pluto or not. It's something like 40 different planets and all kinds of dimensions, running from the going all the way up to the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th dimensions. There are different planets outside of this, our third dimensional reality here from Earth. And if we were to blow it up in a nuclear bomb, that would affect all the other planets. And that leads me to my next point, is that there are powerful forces who will not allow any kind of a nuclear war or Armageddon or a conflict on this planet. And I'll give you an example. Back in the 80s, back in the 70s and 80s, there were like 8 or 9 or 10 different times where either Russian generals or American generals hit the nuclear launch button on nuclear weapons from either Russia to the United States or the United States to Russia. And the Galactic Alliance simply came in and shut them all down. They scrambled the launching pad. And there's been a lot of people talking about that since that time. If you look up on the web, you'll find lots of stories about that. And there was a reason behind that, because they didn't want us to kill ourselves. The other thing, too, is another example of that is with Fukushima. Fukushima was a false flag event. It actually was caused not by so-called earthquake in March of 2011. It was caused by an Israeli submarine, according to my sources, which was under control of the cabal, which detonated a nuclear device, nuclear bomb, if you will, at the Sea of Japan. And that caused a tsunami coming right at the four Fukushima nuclear reactors. The other thing people don't realize, there was another cabal-controlled company, an Israeli company that controlled the safety systems at the four Fukushima nuclear reactors. And they intentionally shut down the safety systems at all four of those nuclear reactors 1 hour before the tsunami hit. Now, why would anyone or any company in their right mind shut down the safety systems of those reactors if they wanted to save people and save the planet? Of course, they didn't. They wanted to intentionally cause harm, and I'll go into that reason in a minute. But at any rate, the radiation from Fukushima was coming across the Pacific in a huge nuclear plume of water that contained 10 times more radiation than all the bombs dropped since World War II. That was during the spring of 2014. That was a few months after I started my radio show in November of 2013. And so I went out and had water testing done off the waters here in Seattle and the Pacific Coast, and I sent them to laboratories in California and in Wisconsin. And one thing I have to tell you, I know that Jerry Brown, the governor of California, has had his problems, but one thing I have to thank Governor Brown for is that he agreed to do all the testing that my friends and I wanted as part of our nonprofit group for radiation in the water here off the Seattle area. This was important because our own governor, Democratic Governor Jay Inslee, refused to do any testing. He shut down the testing laboratory, so we couldn't do any testing. But both California and Wisconsin did the testing. It turned out, guess what? All the radiation was gone, completely gone. And Governor Brown, after that, did his own testing of the waters off San Francisco and Los Angeles up and down the coast, and the radiation had completely disappeared. I asked my galactic friends what had happened, and they said that they had sent ships in to clean up all the radiation. Cleaning up radiation on planet Earth is a very old and established technology. They said it's no problem. But one of the reasons, and they weren't going to let us commit suicide with radiation from Fukushima. There is still some radiation being allowed into the environment from the Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, at Fukushima. But most of that now is being cleared up as well. One of the reasons why the Galactic Alliance allows some radiation to escape from Fukushima now is because they want to teach us a lesson so we don't use nuclear power any time in the future. I have to tell you a story. Outside of this planet, planet Earth, there are no advanced human civilizations which use nuclear power or nuclear energy because they consider it's illegal, and they know it's a very destructive force. This is one of the things that the Pleiadians have tried to change, and to their credit, in 1953, they did visit, 53, 54, they did visit President Eisenhower at the time, and they offered him spiritual advancement and technology to eliminate poverty on this planet and also eliminate all disease on the planet and also give us free energy. What a paradise world that would be. And if we had taken up their offer, our lives today would be a far better and different kind of planet. But Eisenhower refused because the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time wanted the weapons, and the Pleiadians could offer no weapons. And then in March of 1954, a group called the Reptilians visited President Eisenhower and offered them a treaty in which they would share some of their advanced technology for the abduction and, they said, study of humans on this planet. And Eisenhower agreed to it. I've since talked to Dwight D. Eisenhower about it on the other side, and he greatly regrets his decision, and he certainly would not agree to that today, to his credit. At any rate, because of there are certain sectors of the certain secret space program and of the U.S. military which has now this very, very advanced technology on this planet. And one problem with that agreement is that it was completely illegal. It was never run by Congress. Most people don't even know about it. It's called the Treaty of Merida. It was executed in March of 1954 when President Dwight D. Eisenhower met with the reptilian representatives at Edwards Air Force Base outside of Los Angeles. One of the problems with that agreement is that 6 million people were abducted by the Greys and the reptilians, and only 1.5 million were returned. The rest were, I don't want to offend anybody by saying this, but it's true, they were either eaten or put into slavery by the reptilians. That practice now has been stopped, and the reptilians are slowly getting pushed off the planet. I expect they'll be completely gone within two or three years. And this brings me to my next point. Of all the planets in this universe, Earth has been the hardest to affect any positive change. And so everyone here listening today, I know that you all want to make the planet a better place. And I know it's coming. I want to let you know that we are on a very, very, very beautiful and bright timeline. I've talked about this before, but I have been in touch with Nostradamus about this time. And if you look at old books by Dolores Cannon, who was a wonderful American psychic, it's called Conversations with Nostradamus. And there's a three-volume set that was published in 1986, 87, and 88 by Ozark Mountain Press in Arkansas. And if you get copies of those books, that describes in great detail all the dynamics and details of a Third World War that should have occurred by now, according to one timeline. And I got a copy of those books in the 90s, and I was very, very interested in the future. So I read them all three volumes from front to back cover. And one of the things that I noticed in the book, it talked about how a Third World War would start in Bosnia-Herzegovina in the mid-90s, and then it would go on to nuclear war and destruction of many American cities. And in the early, by 2005, many cities in the United States would have been destroyed by nuclear weapons. And here it is, 2019, and there's not a nuclear war, hasn't been one since. And one of the reasons why it hasn't been is because all of us listening today, we've all made the choices together to create a much better and happier planet. And this is one of the points of Dr. Emoto's research shows us, is that we are all, in fact, very, very powerful spiritual beings. One of the entities who came to me about 2 or 3 years ago now was Mahatma Gandhi. And I really like Mr. Gandhi. He's a wonderful man. And, of course, he wants me to share with you this famous quote of his in which he said, be the change that you wish to see in the world. In other words, all of you, if you want to make this planet a better place, start with yourself, because you have control over yourself. And many of you might say, well, how can we control the government of our country or make a big change? Don't look for big changes. Look for small changes within yourself. As an example, when you're out and you see some homeless people here in the United States, give them some words of comfort or a little money. But if you don't have any money, give them some words of comfort. Try to be as kind and respectful and as benevolent to people as possible, because whatever you put out, you always get back in return. As explained in my book, Messages from the Masters, it contains the messages from the Great Spirit, such as John F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, the Galactic Alliance, and many, many, many others. If you'd like a copy of the book, I have a New Year's special for only $20 for the book, which includes a free reading, and just send me an email, if you like, to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'm getting it translated now into German for those of you in Germany, Austria, or Switzerland. It should be done hopefully by the end of this year or by this summer. I'm also looking for translators for Japan and also a Spanish version, too, I'd like to get out. Some may ask, well, what happens to the negative entities on this planet? And one thing that Professor Einstein's told me many times before, matter once created is never destroyed, so that a negative entity like George Bush Sr., what happened to his soul when he passed away recently? Well, he's not being allowed back on planet Earth. He's been given his chance. Instead, a separate new Earth has been created on the other side of the solar system that's in the same orbital path as this planet. It's called Earth's sister planet. And Mr. Bush will be there for one Mayan Khatun cycle. Now, some may ask, well, what's a Mayan Khatun cycle? How long is that? A Mayan Khatun cycle is 25,800 years, and for me, that's a long time. But maybe, perhaps, to the spirit of Mr. Bush, it's not so long, but that's his choice. He decided to go there and to work out his karma, so he'll have 25,800 years to work out his karma, and hopefully he'll make better choices, and he'll ascend the next time around. I've been here a long time, 52,000 years, or two Mayan Khatun cycles, and I want to do everything I can to help in the ascension of this Earth. The fires, the recent fires in Paradise in Malibu, California, are very interesting. It's interesting how the mass media in the United States especially paints them as campfires in which only a few people perished. I wish that was the case. It's not. In Paradise, California, for example, I've done some research and talked to my Pleiadian friends. Over 50,000 people died in those fires. They actually weren't fires. They were directed energy beams. And many more died in Malibu, California, too. And one of the things you can look up on YouTube, if they still have it, is a video of a gentleman who drove down to the beach in Malibu and saw all these burned-out cars right on the beach of people trying to escape the fires in Malibu, California. There's only one problem, though. In the video that he showed on YouTube, the cars, there was no fire around. They were up on the beach, and all the cars were burnt up from the inside out. And it looked like they'd been hit by energy beam weapons. And that's a very, very strange thing. David Wilcox has said that there were actually benevolent human entities from Alpha Centauri who were living in Paradise, and that's why Paradise was destroyed. I don't know, but I know that they weren't normal fires. There was a newscast I saw in major media here in the United States just last week, which claimed that only 86 people died in the Paradise fire. I assure you that many tens of thousands of people died in Paradise. And one of the first pictures I saw was of people trying to escape Paradise on a freeway going out of the town toward Chico, California. But the only problem, I looked at the picture, is that all these cars were there and all of them were burned out from the inside out, and many of them looked like they'd been hit by particle beam weapons. That's not a normal fire. That's evidence of being hit by these beam weapons. But that's one of the reasons why the Pleiadians are here. And in response to myself calling out for their help back about 3 weeks ago, they are all here. And many people, not just myself, but many people called out for their help. They came here on an order, a directive on their own, also as a contingent with the Galactic Alliance. They are a fifth-dimensional civilization, of which case many of us here are from there. I'm from there myself. But they're also called the Seven Sisters. And this is a free will planet. They are helping us, assisting us in the vibrations from the Ascension. They live actually 400 light years from here. They left actually the Pleiades, I'm told, on December 1st. They came from a base in their home constellation called Alcon Taurus in the Pleiades, and they've been here now for about a month. They are here. They have responded, and if you look up in the sky, you will see them. Now they're doing more than just circling the Earth. They are also on boots on the ground, and there are some of them who have materialized from the fifth dimension into our third dimension. And if you saw them on the street, they'd look just like us. You can't tell the difference exactly, except that I heard they don't they can't drink alcohol. So if you met a Pleiadian man and you said, "Hey, buddy, let's go out for a beer," he's going to decline. So any of your friends who don't drink, just suspect them as being Pleiadian. But they are here. And the other thing too, I wanted to tell you, we're getting help not only from the Pleiadians but also the people of the Hollow Earth too. And they're here as well. They've actually been here for many thousands of years. One of the things that that I was told about Fukushima is that Fukushima not only threatened life on this planet, but also above ground on the surface, but it also affected and threatened the people of the Hollow Earth as well. Because you see, the people of the Hollow Earth, guess where they get their air from? They get their air from our atmosphere, from a huge hole at the top pole, North Pole, and also a huge hole at the South Pole as well. And so when Fukushima happened, they were sucking in that radiation and breathing in like we were. And so they came out to help us. And they've been regularly cleaning up that radiation as well. The other interesting thing, too, I get a lot of messages from the merpeople, mermaids and mermen. Must have been a couple of months ago, I was out at the ocean. And I walking in the surf, I meditated. And I could pick up the messages from the merpeople and the mermen, and they said they're all here to help us. People don't realize this, but merpeople were actually a hybridization between dolphins and benevolent humans at the time by the Atlanteans. And the Atlanteans actually created these merpeople to go out and harvest shellfish for them during the Atlantean period. Then when Atlantis fell into the ocean and 12,500 years ago, of course, the merpeople, mermaids, mermen were all left on their own. But there are pods of them here on the planet, all over the Earth. In Washington State here on the Pacific Coast, there's a pod of them near Whidbey Island. There's a second pod, several pods along the coast. And I've been out to the ocean before and actually seen them with their heads bobbing in the surf. If you look on YouTube, on the Internet, you can actually see videos of them as well. They usually have a long tail like a dolphin, but the top half from the waist top is totally human. But they communicate telepathically, and they're here from a planet called Sirius B. It's very interesting. Whales and dolphins came from Sirius B. And if you look at all the different species here, of plants and animals, everything came here, and they all came from somewhere else. One of the important messages I received from President Kennedy several years ago was that the kinds of changes he tried to institute back before he was assassinated back on November 22nd, 1963, was come from the top down in the early 60s through his administration. Now he said that the change is coming from the bottom up, from all of you listening today. And one of the fascinating things he said from his perspective, of course, his perspective on the other side is a little different than ours is, of course, from higher dimensions, but he said the Earth is a ball of light with some dark pockets here and there, but this will eventually become a total ball of light as we ascend. And so if you hear about doom and gloom, don't take it seriously, because that's from an old timeline, and that timeline now has changed. One of the entities I've been involved with now for the last several years is Nostradamus, and when I contact him, the date is December 1540, he's sitting in front of an oak desk. It's very dark. Let me contact him now. He's here. I don't like to bother him too much because I know he's a busy guy, but he said that's fine. But he's sitting in front of this table now, and behind him there's a fireplace. It's very smoky where he's speaking, and there's also he has a burgundy cape around his shoulders and a floppy burgundy hat. He looks very warm in that outfit. And he tells me it's very cold back then. They certainly didn't have any kind of indoor heating like we do in the 21st century now. But at any rate, I've told this story before, but one of the first things that happened when I met him back in 2015 was that he was ripping out his quatrains, all the quatrains. That if you look in Dolores' Cannon's book, Conversations with Nostradamus about the Third World War that was supposed to happen by now, with much of the United States, many cities burning, and people dying as a result of that war. He wrote all about that in Dolores Cannon's book, Conversations with Nostradamus. But he ripped up all those quatrains. I can see him now. He ripped them all up. And then he looked at me, and it was weird because I'm in the 21st century, and the year was 2015. He was back in the 16th century, and the year was December 1540. But both of us, to have that contact, both of us went into the fifth dimension, in which there's no past, present, or future. And I looked at him through the mind's eye of my pineal gland, and I could see him. And he looked at me, and he said, "Ted, what kind of world are you and your friends going to create in this new century?" And I thought for a moment, and I said, "Well, we want one that's peaceful, without war and Armageddon, and we want one to live in harmony and peace with everyone." He said, "Well, you better get to it. You have a lot of work to do." So at any rate, and he also told me back then that his old timelines of Dolores Cannon's old book, Conversations with Nostradamus, and other people cite Nostradamus too for the proposition that there will be World War III. But I want you to, he says, to remember that timelines are fluid, and they're dependent completely upon people's free will. And fortunately, our free will has decided cumulatively as a species, as a humanity on this planet, to choose a better life for ourselves, but not only for ourselves, but our children and our children's children. And that now is within grasp. It's within reach of us. But he ripped up all his old quatrains and looked at me with a blank parchment and said, "What kind of world would you like? Are you and your friends going to make for the future of humanity?" And so since that time, now he's looking at me, and he's written many quatrains now, and it's not about World War III. It's not about Armageddon. It's not about a war with North Korea. It's not even a war with China. And there are other radio programs who've talked about a war with China, and I'm sorry, I don't see it happening. Nostradamus doesn't see it happening either, because we will learn to get along with each other so we don't need to have a war. And that's the kind of beautiful future we have. Nostradamus said that our longevity will double and then triple and then quadruple within the next 15 years. He said 10, 15 years, depending upon our choices. And this will happen once we have full disclosure from the Secret Space Program on life-evolving technologies which can extend our longevity. But with that as well, it comes a responsibility. One of the things that's happened in the Secret Space Program is that they've been collaborating with the Nazis since 1945 and 46. And no, the Nazis were not, they were defeated in World War II, but there was a large group of them that went to Antarctica and collaborated with the reptilians to gain all this advanced technology. And that technological program of the Nazis was merged with the U.S. Secret Space Program back about 1975. 76, around that time frame, I'm told by my spirit friends. And so they have technology now that can easily extend people's lives. One of the things that I asked Randy Kramer, who was a soldier with in the Secret Space Program last July in my program, I said, so they have life-extending technology. Yes, and he said they did. And they what they do is for scientists, he said, from the 40s and 50s, who should have died, passed away decades ago, they're deemed so valuable to this Secret Space Program that they simply extend their lives and they give them a new body. They keep the personality, they keep the soul in the body, but they somehow have this technology to give them additional many, many years of service. They'll take somebody, for example, in their 80s and reduce that person down to when he's 30 or 35. I guess from a ethical or moral standard point, if you've got Nazi war criminals who were scientists who worked for Hitler in exterminating people in Europe and worked on their program, and the U.S. brought them here to help them in their own space program, if those people are now part of the Secret Space Program, is it moral or ethical for those entities, for those lives of those people to be extended at the expense of everyone else? That's a question I didn't ask Randy, but it's one I've thought about since that time. Also, when you come into this planet, into this existence, you always make an agreement with the Supreme Being or the Creator as to how long you're going to live and what kinds of things you're going to learn during this period. Very interesting question is, as these life extension techniques come out and people are able to live much longer than they do now, what kind of soul contract will we have with the Creator, the Supreme Being? And how will that affect our own karmic evolution? I know that from my conversations with the with Ambassador Tuellian of the Ceres and other entities with the Ceres, Ambassador Tuellian is something like 10,000 years old, and he can come and go outside of his body at will. And he said that he's told me before he can live actually up to 25,000 years. But he's a very benevolent, beautiful human who's representing the Say race here on the planet. He says thank you. And from what I've been told by my spirit friends on the other side, our genetics were actually tinkered with by the Anunnaki many thousands of years ago. We were supposed to live much, much longer than we do, but they shut down many of our DNA strands so that we would only live for a relatively short period of time, 80, 90, 100 years if we're lucky. Unfortunately, with that short of a lifespan, you don't learn about spirituality until perhaps toward the end of your life, and then it's time to die, and then reincarnate and get a new body. In which case, you're stuck with amnesia here on planet Earth, and you don't remember anything from your previous existence. But it's important to realize that we're all here for a purpose, and we all have the spark of the Creator in within us. For those of you interested in looking younger, perhaps there's men and women out there who, who spend a lot of money, for example, on plastic surgery or on special cosmetics to make their skin color look younger. I'll give you a beauty hint from the Pleiadians and the Galactic Alliance that if you spiritually progress, you actually stop the aging clock, you live a lot longer, you're happier and healthier, and then you start looking younger and younger. So if you've ever met anybody who's very spiritually advanced but much older and they look like maybe they're 30 years younger, that's one of the things that can happen is that you start to reverse the aging clock if you when you start to evolve spiritually. The other thing, too, I want you to let you know that some people out there, they don't distinguish between good aliens and bad aliens. I'm using that, of course, in a relatively figurative term. But there's a big distinction here in this galaxy between service to self extraterrestrials and those aliens outside of this planet who are service to others. The Galactic Alliance is a benevolent association of an alliance of 450 million planets of approximately 7 trillion entities, of which the Earth is in this area. They exist in one-third of the Milky Way galaxy, and they're here to help us. And there's another group of extraterrestrials who are negative, service to self. They feed off of negativity and war, and those are called the reptilians, and their slave species, which are called the Greys. They've been, unfortunately, in this treaty with the United States government since 1954, a treaty that most people don't even know exists. And that's one of the reasons why some say we've had so many wars during the last century, the 20th century, is because these wars were actually instigated by the reptilians in order to cause trouble here on the planet, because that's what they feed off of. But I want to tell you that our future is very, very bright, and one of the most important things you can do if you're looking for spiritual guidance is to spend as much time as you can in nature and meditate. Mother Earth loves you so much, and she will be glad to give you her energy, and she is a she, to help you in your own ascension. The other thing, too, is to always trust your heart mind, which is your most, which is 2,000 times more powerful than your logical mind. And there's so much to say more, friends, and we're getting close to the end of this first hour. But if you have any questions on the Ascension, please send them to me. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And if you'd like a copy of my book, it's only $20. Messages from the Masters includes a free reading for you. And just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'll be very happy to send you an autographed copy of my book. The messages in the book are from Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, the Galactic Alliance, Nostradamus, Dr. Masurumoto, and many beautiful and great spirits on the other side. When I wrote the book, much of the book is in coded messages from them. So you sit down, read it once, you read it again, you read it again, you read it again. Each time you read it, they say you will get different messages on different aspects of our ascension. But the timeline, Nostradamus is telling me now, he's here with me, it has definitely changed, and we are headed to a beautiful new and bright golden age for all of humanity, in which case we will truly ascend into the into the fifth dimension. So it's going to be a very different world, and it's happening right now as I speak. And with that, Eric, if you could please play Aquarius by the Fifth Dimension, because this is a prelude to the beautiful new age that we'll be entering. And during our next hour, please stay tuned. I'll be bringing on Carolyn White and Mary Beckman, two wonderful psychics, talking about my upcoming Galactic Wisdom Conference and the Cosmic Awareness Fair. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. Please stay tuned.